Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9, that was just read. And I'll read again the verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dear friends in Christ, everything in Old Testament times was provisional, preparatory, temporary. To be sure, sins were taken away under the Old Covenant. People could go to bed at night and in peace. People could die in peace, in faith, in the coming Messiah. But all the sacrificial arrangements and all the arrangements for the temple, first the tabernacle and then the temple, all these divisions between the holy place and the holy of holies and all the temple furniture and so forth, all of this showed that there was something still lacking. The ashes of the red heifer with the purification water poured over them were used to cleanse people who'd come into contact with dead bodies. Luther and the other older commentators speculated that altogether during the Old Testament period, 6 red heifers were slain and used for these purification rituals. And Christ's humanity, Christ's death, was the 7th red heifer. All of this is speculation, but it's good, pious speculation. It points to the temporary nature of the Old Testament cleansing. If you contacted a dead body again, you had to be cleansed all over again. So everything was temporary. And these rituals also point to the fact that all that was purified was your flesh, your body. It did nothing for the conscience. Even the great day of atonement, Yom Kippur, had its deficiencies. That day brought cleansing from the sins of ignorance, the hidden faults of the high priest and the people. Various rituals with bulls and goats gave a wonderful assurance, but something was still lacking. The fact that it had to be repeated annually showed that its rituals were just signs, symbols, shadows pointing forward to the greater reality coming in our Lord Jesus Christ. But then, and in Hebrews chapter 9, we have what's been compared to the great but now in Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God has been revealed in the gospel, and so forth. And here we have a great but now kind of expression. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come. And how much more shall his blood cleanse our consciences? Now we have our great high priest, who with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. There's a finality here. It's finished. It's all done once for all. And you have this ringing once for all several times in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Here we have an eternal redemption, a redemption purchased through the blood of his cross. Now, what does that mean for you and me? This epistle says this means the perfection of our consciences. Our consciences, yours and mine, can be perfectly clear. What is a greater evil? What is more tragic than a guilty conscience? Our prisons, our psychiatric hospitals are full of people with guilty consciences. And there are many people who, if you like, are the walking wounded, people who are not confined to institutions but still bear the burden of a guilty conscience with them all the time. And each of us too is constantly bothered, or bothered at least from time to time, by the guilt of our consciences. The writer says, there's no need for that anymore. Anyone who looks in faith to the one who hung on the cross has his conscience cleansed by the blood of Christ. There all of our sins are washed away. There all of our sins are taken away in him. At this point in his commentary on the Epistle to the Hebrews, Luther uses a play on words in the Latin. Our sins are abluta et ablata. Abluta et ablata. Washed away, taken away. Let's reflect for a while on these two words which are so rich in gospel. First of all, the word abluta, washed away. This sums up the whole work of Christ according to the Epistle to the Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 3, having made a cleansing for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. It sums up the whole work of Christ in three words, a cleansing for sins. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, we were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our fathers, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or spot. Nothing specifically about washing there, but here we have the same theme, the unblemished lamb through whom all of our sins are washed away. 1 John 1, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. And then in the epistle, in the book of Revelation, the great anomaly, if you like, the great mystery, that those who are in heaven have washed their robes and made them white in the blood, in the red blood of the Lamb. It's all abluta, it's all washed away. And the second word that Luther uses is ablata, taken away or carried away. And the first thing that comes to mind there, the first Old Testament text, is Micah 7, the final chapter of Micah. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, and so forth? He will again have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I remember reading a devotion on this text by Hermann Gockel, and he said, God casts all of our sins into the depths of the sea. And then he puts up a sign, no fishing. Then we look at another text, Psalm 103, which speaks of all of our sins being removed from us as far as east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. And finally, Hebrews 13, which speaks of our Lord Jesus himself, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered outside the gate. He suffered outside the city. He carried the sins of the people outside the city. And there on the cross, they were all nailed up, high above us, removed from us, and left there on the cross. Abluta et ablata, washed away, taken away. No longer do human beings have to think of ways to appease God. No longer do we have to worry about pleasing God with dead works, what the epistle calls dead works. Those are works that are done in order to appease him, works that are done not motivated by the gospel, not motivated by faith. With our consciences now cleansed by the blood of Christ, the recurring accusations of our own consciences, whether these accusations are fair or unfair, needn't concern us. The accusations of our fellow men, whether fair or unfair, needn't give us ultimate concern. The constant accusations of the devil who always accuses, just as the law always accuses, need not give us any ultimate anxiety. We can keep it all in perspective, we can keep it all in proportion. What counts ultimately, what counts more than anything, is that you and I, poor sinners, who deserve nothing but God's wrath, we poor sinners have a gracious God. To him we can flee for refuge and for grace. We can serve our living God with joy and with delight, with heads held high. All is a bluter and a blatter, washed away and taken away. Thanks be to God. Amen.